We completed the series on the power of God last week, and this week we are going into a new little series on transformation and renewal. And our key text is from the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and verse 2. Paul writing to the Romans says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there are two phrases that we're going to pick from these two verses. And that is in verse 2, be transformed, and the other word, renewing of your mind. So apparently, the transformation and renewal of our hearts and minds are very important to God. And in fact, from verse 2, it seems that that's the only way we can discern and come to know God's will, or to even perform and do His will. So the word transform and the word renewing are the two words by which we get the little mini-series that we are talking about here. So we are talking about transformation and renewal. First of all, let's look at the word transformation. That is a word in the Greek, is the word metamorpho. Romanized, if you're taking notes, is M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O. Metamorpho, which has been used in the English language when they brought it over as the word metamorphosis. As you all remember from your little time that you had in science long, long ago, for some of you. It's a transformation, like for example, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, and all the different life cycles of insects. And so there's a process of change, a metamorphosis. And that would be actually a pretty good translation for this word metamorpho. The word metamorpho has been used several other times in the New Testament. It has been used in the Gospels when it speaks about Jesus being transfigured. So the word transfigured, when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives with Peter, James and John, is the same word metamorpho. Let's look at one of those verses in in the Gospel of Luke. I'll take the one from the Gospel of Luke when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus, as He prepared the disciples for His coming, took them forth to the Mount of Olives, and we look first at the book of Gospel of Luke. In the passage that we're looking for is in Luke chapter, let's look at Luke chapter 9, Gospel of Luke chapter 9. It's found also in Matthew 17, but we take the story from Luke chapter 9, in verse 28 onwards. It says, now it came to pass after 8 days after this saying, that he took Peter, John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Verse 29. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, And his robe became white and glistening. So his face was altered and his clothing was altered. The part that I like to point to in Gospel Luke 9 is the word in verse 29, which you never find in the other Gospels, as he prayed. Now we can look at Matthew 17, which records the same incident, but missing the words as he prayed. In verse 1 and 2, Matthew 17, verse 1 and 2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured, metamorphosed before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So there was a process that took place. Only the Gospel of Luke tells us that it took place as he was praying. As he was praying, a change began to take place. None of us know exactly how long. It could have been a matter of seconds. It could have been a few minutes. Who knows? It could have been an hour. But there was a process of change as they noticed that as Jesus was praying, there was a transformation taking place, not only on his physical body and face, but even his clothes began to be transformed and changed. The power of the Spirit, or the Spirit, spiritual realm, began to affect the natural realm. The very molecules of his robes were affected. That's a transformation. That's the same word, metamorpho, that is found in Romans chapter 12 that we just read. Now what happens if we put the word transfigured, as they translated in Matthew 17, into that? This is how you would have read in Romans 12 verse 2. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transfigured. Be transfigured. Transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The word metamorpho comes from two Greek words. And it's a combination of the Greek word meta, M-E-T-A, and the word morpho, M-O-R-P-H-O-O. So meta and morpho got linked together to form a new word, transform or transfigured. Now we all realize all of us wants to be transformed. All of us wants to change. And I think the essence of Christian life is that many times we want to change, but we don't have the power to change. We want to be more than what we can be. We have more desires within us than we are capable of achieving. So how do we reach from point A to point B? The process is metamorpho. And that's why this mini-series is important for us to realize how the changes can take place within us. It combines two words, meta and morpho. Now the word morpho, M-O-R-P-H-O-O, simply means form. F-O-R-M. Morpho means form. And it has been used in a sense of changing from one form to another form. Let me give you an example here. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. In reference to Jesus Christ appearing after his resurrection, he tells us here in chapter 16 of Mark, verse 12. Now here is how the word morpho is used, so that we know what metamorpho means, but we are looking just at morpho, right? And verse 12, after that, he appeared to in another form. Another type of morpho, or form. in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now that's a significant word there, using the word morpho, another form. How did he appear? Now the Gospel of Luke 24 tells us a story of that. And the two fellows refer to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus appeared to them, walked with them, talked with them, and traveled with them for a whole journey in Luke 24. Yet they didn't know it was Jesus. That's remarkable. He must have taken some sort of form. Now, if Jesus were to appear to some of you today, most of the time, if he appear in some form of his glory, some of you will probably say, Jesus, straight away. And if he suddenly appear in your car on your way from here to your house, boom, someone appears in your car, you say, oh, Jesus, right? So definitely, he must appear in a manner in which they could not see and recognize. He must have looked like just an ordinary man. Another form. Mark 16 says, another form altogether. Now glance at Luke 24, just for a moment. Luke 24, at that particular story. And this referred to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. In verse 16, Luke 24 verse 16. It says, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Somehow that form affected how they see him. And they could not recognize him at all. And that's a pretty long time to be talking with Jesus and enjoying the conversation with him and not realizing that he was there until at the last moment before he disappeared. That's the word, another form, morpho. Now, let's look at the book of Philippians chapter 2. Here's another place where they use the word form or morpho. And soon you'll see the reason why we have to look at that, because here we are talking about transformation. Philippians 2, verse 6 and 7. It says in verse 6, referring to Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So he was in a form of God. And that was something new, because for the first time, God Almighty came in human flesh. He was fully man and fully God. Something which creation has not seen before. It was another form. The Bible tells us all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in him. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a born servant. So again, the word form, morpho, is used. How does that refer to us? Look at Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Now this part refers to all of us. And Paul, of course, speaking specifically about the Galatians. And that particular verse would have reference to all Christians too. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Now remember, the Galatians have been wishy-washy in terms of their walk with God. They come to know Jesus Christ, they got the gospel of Jesus Christ through Paul's ministry when he traveled in his first missionary journey to the region of Galatia. And Paul preached to them, many churches were founded, and Galatia is actually a province. It is not just a city. So there were many, many churches involved here. Not talking about just one church. And so Paul wrote to the Galatians, his letter that was to be shared among all the cities in Galatia. And Paul says, knowing what they were going through, they were being bombarded by wrong doctrine. They're being bombarded by Jews who convinced some of the Gentiles, it was primarily a Gentile church, that they had to keep Jewish laws in order to be saved. In fact, who knows, some of them could have started circumcision and started trying to keep Jewish laws, even though they were born again and saved by Jesus Christ through grace. And Paul was annoyed at what the Judaizers were doing, and so he wrote this letter to them, confronting them with the fact that, look, either you follow the law or you follow grace. Either you follow Jesus or you want to keep the old commandments and try to get your salvation and your redemption to the old commandment. And he says, look, in all his conversation in Galatians, he says, look, the law has a purpose, but when the real one has come, the law was only a school teacher. When the real one comes, the school teacher goes off. You are no more servants, you're sons. You're now moved into something higher, something better, something greater. So he was trying to tell them about the grace of God and the power of transformation. Now, many times what happened to many people is they do what all the world does. And that is, during the New Year's Eve, they have resolutions of what they want to do, what they want to be next, and they try. And most of the time, people find it hard to keep their resolutions. Because to will is there, but to perform, the power isn't there. And so sometimes Christians fall into the trap. We become no different from the world. We try to change our lives.